Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. What is up, you guys? I am super excited for today's episode because I have Jamie Jensen of Your Hot Copy. Now, at the end of the interview, you're going to hear me recommend like a million times over that you head over to yourhotcopy.com and check it out. And I consider this kind of a two-part interview because half of it, we kind of talk about scaling up your business, but then half of it, we talk a little bit about copywriting, but more specifically, finding your authentic voice in writing, which I think is even above and beyond copywriting. Is one of the first things you have to do if you want to start writing blogs or emails or social media posts that actually get the views you're looking for. Now, the reason that I had Jamie Jensen on is she was referred to me by somebody, and I went to look at her website and her services page. Her three core services are called Say My Name, Full Frontal Website Copy, and What the Funnel. And if I recall correctly, she even had some more innuendo-esque offers the last time I looked. And, you know, I just loved so much that this is somebody who I know is building an incredibly successful business. She's been referred to me by some very successful people, and she's able to stay 100% true to who she is, even while building a team, even while scaling up, even while running a highly service-based versus one-to-many course-based business. And so once I saw that, I saw the results she was getting, I read the website, there was no way that I couldn't have Jamie on. So just a couple of fun facts that I pulled on Jamie that you should know is that she was a comedy film writer. She wrote and directed a feature comedy film that was number one on Hulu for 3 weeks when it was released. She's worked with some major Hollywood players. She's done comedy clubs. And on top of all that, she honed in. This is what I love so much. She honed in on that comedy writing skill to start writing sales page copy that converts like crazy. And if you were wondering, she is also a certified twerk teacher, which is true. So much good stuff from Jamie. I love how authentic she's been with her messaging, her branding. It's absolutely amazing. I can't recommend enough that you look into her website. Now, before we jump into the interview, I want to remind you, if you haven't already, you need to make sure that you sign up for our free Periscope training over at heartsoulhustle.com/class, where you're going to learn everything you need to know to crush it on Periscope. I'm going to show you how to generate your first 1,000 followers. I'm going to give you an exact sales script that you can follow to make more money when you're live. And I'm going to give you the tools you need to understand how to actually profit from a Periscope presence. So if you want to get all that, make sure you head over to heartsoulhustle.com/class, pick a time that works for you, and drop in your name and email. And without further ado, let me introduce you to Jamie Jensen. Hey, Jamie, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm really excited to have you. And one of the big reasons is because I looked at your website, and I won't give it away, but the minute I was on your website, I was like, yes, 100% yes. So you are a copywriter, but I'm going to turn it over to you to tell us a little bit about what you do, what you're working on, and all that good stuff.
Sure. Yes. So I am a copywriter. I'm a copywriter by trade. And that is how, you know, I started out solopreneuring, so to speak. In the last year, I've kind of scaled my business. So we've become a bit more of like a digital copywriting agency. And then we also have DIY copywriting products. And I also mentor and coach copywriters who want to build their business and make more money, scale, get more clients, prove their copywriting skills, all of that stuff. So I teach both copywriters and entrepreneurs who need to improve their copywriting skills for their businesses how to do that.
Awesome. So one of the cool things that we were talking about is that you've scaled up a little bit in the past year or so. And what I really, really love is that your website, we talked about this, one of like your core tenets is that it's fun. So can you talk to us a little bit first about that? Like, tell us about how you are like 100% authentically who you are, but you still charge really premium prices. And I think it'll make sense when you kind of explain it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the number one core value tenet thing in my business is fun. I believe that if it's not fun, it's not worth doing. I wouldn't have built a business if it wasn't something that I wanted to have fun with. It's one of the big reasons that I decided to grow my team was also because I don't think it's fun to do it alone. So whether that means like you're part of networking groups or mastermind groups, or you have other business owner friends, or you build and scale your team in a way that's fun, you know, I just believe that that's kind of the reason and the best way to do it. I also believe that when you're writing your content, whether it's for your website copy or if it's for newsletters or other marketing communications that go out to your prospective clients, my rule is if you're not having fun with it, then they're not having fun engaging with it. You know, your user experience for your clientele doesn't necessarily have to be fun. It might be peaceful. It might be at ease. It might be empowered. You know, for my business, it happens to be fun. So I want to make sure that when I'm engaging with my clientele, I'm having a good time writing, all the content that goes out is fun, and they're having a good time engaging with us.
Awesome. So
I don't know if I actually answered your question.
No, you,
about, like,
you did.
Being who you are. Yeah.
Yeah, you did. So one of the things that really stuck out to me, so your services are like so innuendo based. I can't get enough of it. So like I'm on your website and a few of the things you have are like full frontal website copy and what the funnel, say my name on your page where they can contact you. It's call me for a good time. So one of the things that I love, can you kind of talk to us about how did you scale up and start kind of building a team without kind of sacrificing that authentic voice? And can you also talk to us maybe about some of the numbers? Because in my business, we kind of did it backwards. We started it with courses and then we started bringing in some of the consulting where a lot of people, I think, start the way you did, which is they do that consulting, but then they move into the courses and the digital-based products. So talk to us a little bit about that growth and how you did it and brought on new team members while still maintaining like what is clearly some core brand.
Mm-hmm, sure. So the basis of my whole like branding and brand message, you know, it's about self-expression. Ultimately, we're about writers. We're about like freedom of speech. So part of, and this is also like my voice and style. One of the things that I say a lot is I have a background in screenwriting. Like that was kind of the world that I came from. It was the Hollywood world. So before I got involved in like all of the writing sales copy, you know, for pay, not for free, which I was doing it for free for a while. One of the things that I brought with me was like the voice that I had already developed as a screenwriter. So it kind of helped me know like who I was, what I was about, what was marketable about me, because I had to figure that out to be in the Hollywood world and to kind of be in that scene. I had to know like what was my calling card, what was my voice as a writer. So when I built my brand, that kind of just came with me. And there was this element of shock value comedy. You know, I'm from New York. I bartended for almost a decade, over a decade in New York City. So that kind of sense of humor was just really natural for me. So when I created all that stuff, it was from a place of like, I'm just having fun with this because like, I don't give a F. And when it came to scaling, I had to look at, you know, what are the pieces, if I could break down, you know, the parts of my business and my business and brand voice that appeal to people, what are those and how do I like hire people who can bring those same values in? So yes, it is fun. My background is comedy writing, obviously. So I knew that they would have to be funny and have a sense of humor and all that stuff, but that some of them might also just have to be able to write in a sexy way because, you know, those sex innuendos and the concept of sex and how marketing and sales, you know, is similar to sex and seduction is also a part of what I use in my branding and in my messaging. The writers that I brought on, like, were all super funny and some of them are more punchy and some of them, you know, can write with a little more of like a sexy tongue-in-cheek type of thing going on. And they all have their own spin on what we're already kind of doing as a brand, if that makes sense.
Awesome. I love it. So talk to us a little bit about when did you decide it was kind of time to start scaling up? So when you first started, you said you were doing a lot of copywriting, first for free, totally common, then for pay. Mm-hmm. And when did you kind of decide to evolve into more of an agency? And we talked about this a little bit, but you have some like courses and some training programs that show people copy. So when did you start to evolve? Maybe like what was the point in your business from the abstract, like I could feel the change type moment. And then maybe more from like a financial, when did it make sense to start growing a team and expanding?
Sure. So just to answer, like to go back to your course question, just because the basis of my business and our revenue is primarily copywriting services. That is primarily what we offer and the service that we offer. And that is most of what our revenue is. My course revenue is a very, very, very small percentage of our revenue. It's something that I offer and I'm happy to offer it. But it's definitely, it's not like, oh, we did one-on-one and then we switched to course revenue and I grew my list really huge and then sold a bunch of courses. And now that's my primary income. Like it's not. And I don't think it ever will be. It's not the vision for my business. So I just kind of wanted to like briefly address that. The way that courses came about was when I was engaging with more of like a beginner entrepreneur community, I saw that there was a desire for DIY when they weren't necessarily ready to invest in one-on-one. They wanted something that they could use to write their own copy. I also saw a lot of business owners, even the ones that I worked with and wrote copy for, I sent them off and they had great copy and it even sounded like the way they spoke, but they still didn't really have the like writing skills to write the way that they speak. So part of the basis for the course I created was helping people, you know, learn how to find the message in anything that they're writing, know the basic story things that they need to know to craft any page they ever have to craft or a blog. It was just like foundational writing things and getting them comfortable with their own voice because, you know, I can write your website copy for you, but then all the other content and writing you have to do for your business for the rest of your business, I want them to be armed and able to do it. So that was where the course came about. It was really just like, I see a need and I want to fill it. And even if it wasn't something that they were telling me they wanted, I was like, no, you really need this. I want to teach you. I don't want to just like give you a fish. I want to teach you how to fish kind of thing. That was where the course came about. And as far as knowing when to scale, I had so much work that I couldn't do it all myself anymore. And when I hit my first 5-figure month and I felt like I'm overwhelmed, I can't do all this, it became clear to me that it was time to raise the prices and to scale up and to get help. Even just so I wasn't creatively tapped out, because as a writer, there's really only so much you can do at your best for someone. And I didn't want that quality to decline as I was taking on more work either.
I love it. And I think that that's so important that you identified that. I can tell you from personal experience, we waited until we hit the multi-6-figure mark mm-hmm. before we ever brought on an assistant. And it's like one of the few things that I look back in my business where I'm like, I would have done that differently. That one would have been different. And so I think mm-hmm. it's really important that you recognize like you don't have to be at this $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a month mark to bring in people to support you. It's when you get to that point where it's just a lot and you feel overwhelmed. And so I think like I'm kind of going to shift this interview a little bit in real time. I mean, it's not real time if you're listening, but it's real time for us. So I kind of want to shift a little bit then, and maybe let's talk a little bit about you kind of scaled up. And I think one of the big things that stuck out to me was you said, you know, I attracted people with a similar vibe and a similar tongue in cheek feel that I have and that funny, punchy feeling. So how do people really tune in to that person that they are? Because, you know, one of the things I've always kind of considered is like, I do curse like a sailor in my personal life. And I wish that that mm-hmm. wasn't true, but I totally do. But I don't really think I would in my branding, nor do I. So how do you kind of identify, like, where is that authentic piece? Like, when are you plugging into that internal voice? And when are you kind of turning away from that, like, authentic voice? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's actually a really simple answer.
Yay.
It depends on who you're speaking to. So if you're going to be writing your website copy and it's your clientele or the person that you're engaging with, if they're purchasing your course, your customer, your client, whatever, if you were in a room alone with them describing the work that they're going to do with you and how you're going to speak to them when you're actually working together or how they're going to like engage with your voice once they've purchased your course, for example, that's the barometer. You know, how am I going to talk to them in real life? So, you know, it's the same as if you're writing an email to your best friend and you don't like necessarily have to capitalize every letter or make it grammatically correct because those expectations just aren't there in that relationship. It really comes down to like, what are the expectations of that relationship and how do you want the precedent to be set for that relationship going forward?
Awesome. That is a really simple answer and that kind of makes perfect sense. So your authentic voice doesn't necessarily have to be the way you talk all the time. It's the way you want to speak with the people you want to engage with.
Yeah.
Mm. Ooh,
yeah.
That's a really good distinction. I like that. That's like tweetable.
Yeah.
So as you're scaling up, we talked a little bit about this. So some of the really cool stuff that you're working on right now in my audience, like I'm working on funnels. So everybody is like all about that funnel life. So can you talk to us a little bit about Where does copy come in when you start building out your funnels and you start scaling up? Because like I said at the beginning, I think one of the things that does stand out is that you have this really strong branded present copy. And do you carry that into everything that you're doing?
Pretty much. I think with different products, services, it changes slightly. You know, I also, you know, in my blogs and newsletters, I don't necessarily always make jokes. Sometimes I just, I'm straightforward and to the point. And if I have something to teach, you know, I'm going to get in, teach it and get out. So sometimes it can be like really just to the point and concise and, you know, even like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, it really depends. And then when I'm engaging with clients and I have that, you know, if I'm emailing with them or if we're coordinating on copy, you know, it's a level of like enthusiasm and fun that I'm bringing to like the experience of working with me or with the agency that isn't necessarily like in your face comedy, but it's still like a fun experience. So the language isn't necessarily the same, but the overall vibe is the same.
Awesome. Okay. That's kind of your brand and your copy and yes, your kind of scaling. Let's dive into some really nitty gritty. So let's say that somebody's listening right now and they're like, okay, so I love that you tune into your authentic voice. For me as a newbie, how do I start to tune into my authentic voice? I think that especially in writing, which go figure, copywriting, especially in writing, it's kind of hard to do that. Like when you do video or like even live streaming, you know, you kind of show up as who you are without a lot of effort. But mm-hmm. The minute you take pen to paper, like what are some things that people can do to make sure that they're writing the way they want to write and they're putting out good content that attracts them?
There's a lot of pieces, which is like really hard to say because it, as a writer, I know that the more rules you're handed, the more you freeze when you hit the page. Like, oh, I have to do 25 things. Okay, let me sit here and not write a word. Oh, sorry.
That's okay. We'll bleep it. It'll be fun.
Sorry, I'm terrible. I'm the worst. Let me sit here and not write a word because I'm terrified that I'm not going to actually, you know, meet all of those rules. Or so that's sort of a struggle that people face. But as far as I think the first thing to really think about is when you're trying to figure out what's marketable about you, you have to ask the people that know you really well, like what they love about you, what they think is special about you. If there's a style of comedy that you like, for example, like for people who come to me, they specifically want to bring humor into their work because they know that they're funny in real life and they want to be able to be funny on the page. I always have them identify, like, what are your favorite TV shows that you watch? Like, who makes you laugh? Because I think usually when they can identify that, they sort of know like the type of humor that they're going to bring into their work as well. You know, Louis C.K. has a very different style of humor than Amy Schumer. Those aren't going to be necessarily like the same style and tone and theme. I talk about that sometimes with doing more detailed trainings, is like just different styles of comedy and like how those ply or don't to copy if you're trying to write entertaining content. So that's one thing. But as far as getting comfortable with your own voice, like free writing is number one. Like people need to get used to sitting down and writing without stopping and not editing themselves off the bat, because writing and editing are two different brains. Writing is emotional and editing is logical, and you actually can't do them both at the same time. So I always tell people, like, go and write and don't even think about how it sounds yet. You know, like just start by writing a bunch of stuff and then go back and read it out loud. Some people prefer to speak into a recorder and transcribe their own work, which can be really helpful if you're just starting to like get comfortable and get used to writing the way that you speak. It helps to listen to yourself recorded so you can hear how you actually speak and then think, oh, like I understand the pace of this and which sentences would be short and which would be long. And you know, because these are just things that people aren't necessarily thinking about when they sit down to write. They're trying to create like something perfect or something clever or something that has all the right persuasion tactics in it. And they're not thinking about whether they sound like themselves.
I love that you say that because we have people that ask us all the time, like, oh, who does your copy? And I do have a copywriter that every once in a while looks over some stuff for me. But generally speaking, I write my own stuff. And that's always priority number one, is like, that's how we bust out so much copy, is we do that free writing and we have like something that we want to reference or something that's a source of inspiration. So I don't necessarily talk like Louis C.K., but I totally talk like Jamie Kennedy from Malibu's Most Wanted. If you remember,
interesting.
That.
Of course, I remember him.
I'm like, homie, don't play. Like, I'm totally Jamie Kennedy in Malibu's Most Wanted. So I do say things like hustling, no G with a little apostrophe, and I let those things just flow out onto the page with like some reference of what I want. And I think that the persuasion, and I'd love to hear your take on this. Like, I find that people are more persuaded by the fact that, like, yeah, that probably is how Zach talks, even though he's like Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah. I mean, I won't necessarily speak to persuasion when it comes to voice stuff, but as far as like building trust with your audience and them getting to know you and realize that you're a real human and you're someone that they want to hang out with and engage with, like 100%.
Awesome. Okay. So let's say that somebody's totally on board. They're like, okay, cool. I need to do the free writing. I need to kind of, I think that the biggest thing is free writing is removing that inhibition that comes with editing or trying to fit a mold. The first things first is figure out what you want to do, put it on a piece of paper with absolutely no constraints. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we do that. And now we come back. I know that you're working on funnels. So maybe we'll even say, like, let's say I'm working on funnel emails. So what's my next step to kind of persuade somebody to move from a lead into a customer? Or is there like an overarching persuasion sequence? I know that's such a bold and vague question at the same time.
Well, I'm going to say that there's also a pre-step, which we kind of touched on before, but I didn't necessarily bring it up again here, but I just want to make it point, like, who you're talking to. So identifying like that one person, whoever that person is, it could be one of your favorite clients from the past, someone that you were thinking of when you created this product because you know that they have this problem that you want to solve for them. Understanding, you know, who is that person? How well do you understand their struggles? What do they need to know to buy? A lot of the stuff that I generally like encourage people to put into funnels, and obviously the exact order and strategy is different for each business. It's like there's so many different ways of doing it that I can't say that there's one way, but I will say that, you know, what you have to do is like ask yourself, what do they need to know to buy your product? What are the questions people always have? How can you answer those questions before they even ask the question? What are the steps that they have to take to be ready to buy your product? Like, let's say you have a course and there's, you know, it specifically assumes that they already have a like amount of education about the topic that you're teaching, then your funnel needs to include that. It needs to connect those dots for that person so they understand like why they're learning it, what they have to learn, like they know all the information they need to know to understand the investment that they're going to make and why it's valuable to them. I think a lot of times it's just about actually breaking things down into like bite-sized pieces and finding out like where the confusion is, where you haven't necessarily like explained the value and why the value is important. So
I think that that's so good. And I specifically wrote down that you said, what do they need to know to buy? And so it comes down to finding that authentic voice and removing the inhibition and then saying, okay, so I'm talking to Bob and Bob is 30 years old and works here, right? You do the little ideal customer profile and then you're talking to him and then you say, okay, so what does this person, like what questions do they have that they're not asking that I can answer in order to tell them whether or not they're a good fit?
Yep, exactly.
Interesting.
And what they're going to get out of it, right? Like, what are they getting out of it? Why do they want that? Why is that important to them?
Yeah. So that's going to be my follow-up. So, I mean, I kind of know the answer, but I'd love to hear it from your perspective as a copywriter. So we see what a lot of people do is they kind of say like, oh, here's all the stuff that's in the training. And they kind of like lay out all the modules because they think one of the biggest questions is like, well, what's in it? So what I have found and what I've been taught from people that I've done copy with is you should be focusing more on like the benefits or why they would buy. Like, I'm not saying omit it, but I've seen people where like the whole sales page is like module one, here's this video and that video, but that's not really where you should be, correct? So how do you kind of plug into like, so you answer these questions and that's kind of related to the course, but then as far as the benefits go, is there like a good way to highlight them?
Yeah. The age old features and benefits thing. People don't buy a car for a car. They buy a car for the way a car makes them feel, right? Like, how does this car make me feel about myself? What is this car? Where is this car taking me in life? It's not about the car. So usually with modules and features, you want to outline for the person, like module one has XYZ that's going to teach you the following thing. So you can insert blank here. Like often the benefits are, it's as simple as like, here's this, so you can this. Like, here's X, so you can Y. And then you can highlight why, you can bold why, you can talk more about the Y instead of the X. And I think it also is helpful to sort of lay out, like, here's what's in each module, like factually, tangibly what you're getting. And then like, here's what you're going to learn. Here's how that's going to help you. So I sometimes lay those things out separately on sales pages for courses. Like I will list everything that's included and I'll highlight benefits in all the sections, but then I will also create a separate section that's just telling them like exactly what they're going to learn and what they're going to get out of that.
Awesome. Okay. So I'm just going to recap real quick. So we've essentially figured out where we want to be. We've kind of found our own personal self-expression. We've kind of plugged into who we're talking to. We've kind of removed that inhibition of editing. We're following a persuasion sequence by plugging into the what people need to know. So once they kind of have this, what I feel is like a really basic flow outline of moving somebody from an interested prospect to tuning them into your voice, to kind of indoctrinating them into your system, to answering all their questions, what is like the number one tip that you have? Maybe even we kind of go back. So they've done all that. They're free of the rules. So is there like a really hard, fast copy rule or suggestion you have that you always say, okay, and before you hit publish, make sure what?
Make sure you really know your client. I almost dropped an F-bomb, but I didn't. Sorry.
Awesome.
It's like really awkward. But the point is that I think that most of the time, like there's two things. It's be specific. As specific as you can possibly be. And I push everyone, like I push my writers and my clients, like get more specific. Who is this person? What is this product? What is it going to do for them? Why do they want why? So usually being specific is a matter of knowing your client really well. So they kind of go hand in hand, but I would one of those two is definitely my number one like thing that I keep hammering.
Specificity. No, I think that's important, and I think that hopefully one of the big takeaways should be that, and I hope that this comes across the way I mean it to, like the hardest part of copywriting isn't always the writing. It's knowing who that writing is for. Mm-hmm. And that's the step that so many people skip is it's not like, it doesn't matter how strong your persuasion skills are. If you've written as if it's targeted for a 40-year-old person making $10,000 a month and all of the people you're attracting are trying to start their business and don't even understand what an email list is. You will never convert with the best copy in the world.
Well, exactly. Because you don't actually know how to persuade someone until you know who you're persuading. Like,
ooh, that's good. I like that.
What's going to persuade me is not the same thing that's going to persuade my boyfriend. Like, it's just not. We are not going to be like reeled in by the same thing. There's no way.
Yeah, that's so good. And I honestly think that, you know, one of the things that I've talked about with my audience in, you know, the recent weeks is you have to be somewhat polarizing. And I think that that's what was so attractive about your brand to me is that you are polarizing. And I find that a lot of good copy and good persuasion is really polarizing. So let's dive into the rapid fire round. And sometimes it's really rapid and sometimes it's not. So take as much time as you need. So maybe we should stop calling it rapid fire. But why don't you tell us something people...
I feel like I'm a top chef. It's so exciting.
I know. So why don't you tell our audience something they can do in the next week or so to start creating real results in their business?
Survey your market.
Oh, yes, after my heart. What's the best way to do that in your opinion?
I like polling my Facebook group personally because I find I get the more engagement there than from sending a survey to my list. But sometimes it's as easy as just following up with clients that you used to work with and like just sending a check and email and asking them a few basic questions just to see like where they're at in their business and how you can help them and what they're struggling with and where they are after working with you. It's helpful.
Awesome. And I happen to have a little insight that we're going to be talking about a good way to survey your audience and get real like buyer feedback next week. So make sure you tune in. And the next question is, what does the word hustle mean to you as it applies to business?
Hustle means doing the work that you know really matters.
I like it. Yeah. Do you want to leave it right there?
Yeah, I mean, I would leave it there. I think for me, like hustle can have the connotation of busting your butt, you're breaking your ass, like just for the sake of doing it. And like, you know, you're only going to see results if you hustle. And that comes with this idea of like, working yourself to the bone and total burnout. But I think that the harder work to do in life and business is the work that you know is the most powerful. Like that's the work that has the most resistance. It's the piece of writing that you will avoid forever, you know? And so I think that true hustle is like overcoming that resistance to do the work that really matters.
Awesome. And then finally, where can we find out more about you if we are just dying to get our hands on some hot copy?
yourhotcopy.com.
I love it. Awesome. Well, Jamie, I want to give you a big thank you for being on the show. I had so much fun, and I am, like, seriously, if you guys are listening to this, you have to go yourhotcopy.com. If for nothing else, for the pure joy and entertainment of that site, and you'll be like, yes, I need this person to write me a copy. This episode and this referral came highly recommended from various people, and it proved to be a really great interview. So thank you so much for being on. We'll be sending this out soon.
Thank you.
So not a bad episode, am I right? Now, we've had a copywriter on the show before, but Jamie brought some really new perspective that I loved, and I want to dive into that. But before I do, make sure if you want the notes on this, you head over to heartsoulhustle.com/19. So that's heartsoulhustle.com/19 to get all of the show notes from episode 19. So one of the really, really cool things that I liked was, you know, the last time we talked copy on the show, we talked about sales pages and landing pages and, you know, kind of the typical stuff you would expect. But this time around, we talked about finding your authentic voice and understanding that the real key to plugging into that authentic voice is first figuring out who are you actually speaking to. You know, the way you talk to your mother is different from the way you talk to your best friend and somebody you work with and a client. So you have to first understand, how do you talk to that client and what do you want to say to them? And then we gave you some tools, tricks, and strategies to actually start kind of reverse engineering and brainstorming and actually writing out really good copy. And it comes down to one really key word, which is inhibition. And it's kind of lowering that inhibition and just allowing yourself to write the way you write. Not editing, not filtering, not going back and editing every two sentences, editing when you're done, and plugging into that side of you that just says exactly what you're thinking. You know, when you're able to plug into this kind of free flow side of consciousness, that's where the money is. So identify who you want to be working with. Figure out exactly how to say what you want to say by focusing on that free flow. And then once you do that, you can plug into the persuasion. You can plug into the sales strategies. You can plug in to the other things you need to know. So I'll leave you guys with that. I will be back next week with a very special solo episode of the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. So you don't want to miss that. If you haven't already, make sure that you subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher or both places, because I have a pretty cool editor who knows how to do that. So make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher. And if you haven't already, we would so appreciate it if you left us a review on iTunes. It helps us reach more people. It lets us know that you're there. And I mean, come on, who doesn't like stars? So you guys, I will see you, or be in your ear, I guess, next week with an awesome solo episode. Until then, keep hustling.
Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.